Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Thanks to leaders and activists in and far beyond this room, our nation has made great strides on the road to LGBT equality, a cause that I believe is a defining civil rights challenge of our time.
That's Attorney General Eric Holder speaking last weekend to a pro-gay group called Human Rights Campaign. Is it true that the advancements of marriage rights for LGBT people is the cutting edge of the civil rights movement today? I know that's how it's spoken of, but is that actually true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 13th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Frank Turek joins us here to respond to that and to some other things that Eric Holder had to say, speaking to Human Rights Campaign. And then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest in about a half hour. We'll be talking about Christ in the Old Testament today, Deuteronomy chapter 30, the choice between life and death. Feel free to give us a call for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Frank Turek is a regular guest. He's founder and president of crossexamine.org, author of several books, including Correct, Not Politically Correct. Frank, welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you, Todd.
How do you respond to Eric Holder's assertion that the advancement, in particular of marriage rights for LGBT people, is the civil rights challenge of our day?
Well, that's, of course, what he believes, but it's strange that an African-American gentleman would be saying that a behavior is the same as skin color. You see, race has no impact on your behavior, but homosexuality is a behavior. So if he's going to say it's a civil right to get married because of a particular behavior, then by that same logic, anybody with any behavior could claim that they have a right to marry, say, if a person wants to marry five people, then that's the behavior they want to engage in, so that would be a civil right then. You see, the problem, I think, Todd, is that this is very sloppy thinking. To say that because somebody has a desire to marry somebody, that if you deny them that right to marry that person, you're denying them some sort of civil right. I mean, everyone puts limits on marriage. If marriage had no definition, it wouldn't be anything. I think even most same-sex marriage proponents want to define marriage in such a way so groups can't marry and relatives can't marry. Are those homosexual activists bigots when they advocate that marriage not include groups, relatives, or other parties? I mean, I don't think so. They're not violating anyone's rights. And so a conservative who wants to advocate that marriage not include same-sex relationships are not violating anyone's rights either, because defining marriage in accordance with the facts of nature, it's not bigotry, it's just biology. It's just the way things are, that men were made for women, women were made for men, and the fruit of their labor perpetuates and stabilizes society. No pun intended with the labor thing, but you get my point. When they come together, they procreate. And when they stay together and bring children up, they perpetuate and stabilize society. It, by the way, that is why marriage exists. It's not to recognize that two people have a romantic interest in one another. I mean, we hope they do, but that's not the reason the state's involved in marriage. The purpose of marriage, from a state perspective, is to perpetuate and stabilize society. And at the core of that is children. If you take the gender requirement away from marriage, then you've taken children away from marriage, and then people think marriage is just about coupling. Now, that's a disaster when it comes to a society, because if marriage becomes just about coupling, just about the romantic interests of people, then what happens is people discard marriage and therefore discard children's upbringing because they no longer are romantically interested in somebody else. And that's why we've had these problems in society for the past 40 or 50 years, Todd. As you know, it's because we've liberalized marriage to such an extent through the law that we now think marriage is just about romantic desires. And we've really destroyed that by no-fault divorce. Of course, that's not an argument for same-sex marriage, because if your institution has one flat tire, giving it a second flat tire doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. So there's a lot of problems with what Holder said here.
Here's Attorney General Holder speaking on the issue of hate crimes.
Today, we are more prepared, and we are better equipped than ever before to pursue allegations of federal hate crimes wherever they arise, to bring charges whenever they are warranted, and to support our state and local law enforcement partners in enforcing their own hate crimes laws. And I pledge to you tonight that we will never stop working to ensure that equality under the law is protected by the law.
What concerns does that kind of a comment raise for you, Frank?
My question for him would be, do you know any crimes that are not hate crimes? All crimes are hate crimes. There are no love crimes. That would mean that if a thug beats up a homosexual, that thug would get more of a punishment than if he beats up your grandmother. Why is that the case? The thug ought to be punished equally, because both crimes are terrible. Hate crimes legislation simply makes some people more valuable than others. And in our culture, or according to God, we're all equal under God. So to say that one person's more valuable than another, I think sets a dangerous precedent. It really does. Now, I think there's one exception to this, and that is there might be somebody that gets a greater punishment for, say, assaulting a police officer or killing a police officer, because that person puts himself or herself in harm's way all the time, and so we have to make a greater punishment for that. But outside of that, I don't see any reason to say that a crime against one person should be treated with more severity than a crime against another.
By the definition of hate crimes there, because you're talking there about when someone assaults another person,
yeah,
that is a genuine crime regardless of who is the victim.
That's right.
But what I'm concerned about in the terms, and I'm sure you share this concern, I'd like your thoughts on it, the term hate crimes often is just a placeholder for thought crimes.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Todd, that now they're going to come in and say you can't think a certain thing. That if you assaulted somebody because you thought they were homosexual or heterosexual or black or white or whatever, that somehow makes it worse. No, the fact that you've assaulted them is the issue, and they all ought to be treated the same. If we're going to start going into and trying to figure out the motivations for why you committed a particular crime, then I think it just opens a Pandora's box of psychology and treating certain thoughts as more acceptable than other thoughts. And that in my view, is just dangerous. It sounds too much like an Orwellian novel to me, which is about where we're going right now in this culture. And let me point out, by the way, Todd, the reason we're going there, it's not because of people like Eric Holder or President Obama or these people that may have a different political viewpoint than us. It's really because the church has not been the church for the past 100 years. We are the problem.
Attorney General Eric Holder, at one point in his speech to Human Rights Campaign, pledged that he and his department will act.
My commitment to confronting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity runs just as deep. Just as was true during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, the stakes involved in this generation's struggle for LGBT equality could not be higher. Then, as now, nothing less than our country's founding commitment to the notion of equal protection under the law was at stake. And so the Justice Department's role in confronting discrimination must be as aggressive today as it was in Robert Kennedy's time. As Attorney General, I will never let this department be simply a bystander during this important moment in history. We will act.
What do you hear the Attorney General saying there, Frank?
Well, unfortunately, he's selectively deciding what he's going to prosecute and what he isn't. I know you have to do that partially as an attorney general. You can't go after everything. But if he's going to say that he's going to go after discrimination, whatever that means, against homosexuals, does that mean he's going to go after people who may disagree with homosexual behavior, like Christians and Muslims and Jews, or just people who have that moral viewpoint, at the expense, or at their expense? It seems to me like he's going to be making one group of people more important and targeting everybody else here. Because, look, there really is no compromise when it comes to values. As a friend of mine, Jim Garlow, says, who's a pastor down in San Diego, he says, there's one set of train tracks, and two trains are coming at one another on those tracks. One is called so-called gay rights, and the other is called religious liberty. One must give way to another. And according to Mr. Holder, it seems like religious liberty must give way to whatever gay rights means. And we're seeing that, by the way, around our country. We have people who are Christian business owners like florists and photographers and bakers who are being sued because they will not participate in same-sex weddings. It's against their religious beliefs to do so, but now they don't have the liberty to do that anymore because there's no neutrality here, right? There's no neutrality. It's either you're going to do it or you're not. And they're saying, look, I can't. And the other side is saying, you must or we will hurt you. You see, that's the problem. Let me point out one other thing before the break here, Todd. Everybody already has equal rights. Every human being in this country has the right to marry somebody the opposite sex. That law applies equally to everyone. Nobody is being discriminated against. Oh, certain behaviors are being discriminated against. It's true, but that's what all laws do. All laws discriminate against behaviors. They don't discriminate against people. Polygamists can't marry many people. Bisexuals can't marry two people. In most states, same-sex attracted people can't marry a same-sex attracted person. That's not discrimination against those people. That's discrimination against the behaviors, and that's what all laws do.
Frank Turk is our guest. He's founder and president of CrossExamine.org, author of several books, including Correct, Not Politically Correct. He's responding to recent statements made by Attorney General Eric Holder in a speech to pro-homosexual organization Human Rights Campaign. When we come back, a couple more things that Eric Holder had to say and Frank's response. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case Conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and brisket are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Well, Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Frank Turek, founder and president of CrossExamine.org, about some recent statements made by Attorney General Eric Holder in a speech to a pro-homosexual organization, Human Rights Campaign. I'm wondering here at this point whether or not we are two terms that we have to kind of flag, Frank. One of them is discrimination. You already kind of highlighted that, saying whatever that means. And the other one that we'll hear from Eric Holder here in a moment is orientation. What does orientation mean when we hear Eric Holder and others like him say it?
Well, for them, I believe it means that they have this inborn desire to engage in sex with the same sex, and for that reason, they must be permitted to do that, and not just permitted to do it, but we must celebrate it, according to them. Of course, that particular, assertion, even if it's true, and it hasn't been found to be true, but even if it is true, doesn't mean that because you have a particular desire, you have to act on it. Otherwise, somebody could say, look, I was just born with the anti-gay gene, so why are you blaming me for my anti-gay position? See, just because you're born with something doesn't mean you ought to do it. In fact, that's our problem. We're all born with an orientation toward bad behavior, whatever it is. We all have these desires we ought not engage in. And so just because you're born a certain way doesn't mean you have to act that way. Now, we know from a Christian perspective that that's why Christ had to come, because we're all born with a propensity to sin, and he can come and heal us from that. That's what he comes to do. So let me mention one other thing about that argument. If you carry that argument to its extreme, you would have to say that anyone born with a particular orientation, sexual orientation, has to be afforded the right to engage in that behavior. And if you're Eric Holder, apparently, and maybe President Obama, we have to celebrate it, because that same logic, that same reasoning could be used for incest, it could be used for pedophilia, it could be used for polygamy, it could be used for just about any sexual desire. Now, the other side is going to be quick to say, don't compare me to a polygamist or a pedophile or an incestuous person. Look, I'm not comparing you to that. The person making the argument from a born that way perspective is. They're the ones who are making that argument. They're saying that because you're born a certain way, then you ought to be able to do whatever you're born with. Well, that applies across the board then.
Here is Eric Holder talking about kind of the short list of people who have benefited from the overturning of DOMA, from the other advances of the gay rights agenda.
Last summer, on an extraordinary day that was made possible by so many of this organization's members, the Supreme Court issued a historic decision striking down the federal government's ban on recognizing gay and lesbian couples who are legally married. This marked a critical step forward, and it constituted a resounding victory for committed and loving couples throughout the country who fought for equal treatment under the law, for children whose parents had been denied the recognition that they deserve.
You don't often hear the advocates for same-sex marriage even raise the issue of children unless they want to advance to the next step of talking about same-sex adoption. But what should we know about children faring under the redefinition of marriage?
Well, that's the biggest issue, is that children are the ones left out when we redefine marriage or make our marriage laws more liberal, like we did with no-fault divorce. Children are the ones hurt. The same is true with same-sex marriage. You see, the law is a great teacher. Many people think that whatever is legal is moral and whatever is illegal is immoral. So when you change the law, you change how people think about right and wrong in their minds, and then, of course, legally, people have to obviously obey the law, and quite frequently, then religious liberty and parental rights and other rights go away from people who disagree. In fact, even the advocates of same-sex marriage know this. Andrew Sullivan, in 1996, wrote what I'm about to say here, Todd. He said, if nothing else were done at all and gay marriage were legalized, 90% of the political work necessary to achieve gay and lesbian equality will have been achieved. It's ultimately the only reform that matters, unquote. He's absolutely right. Why? Because if the law changes, everything changes with it. People's attitudes and, of course, the power of the law to force people to comply with whatever the agenda is, that law requires them to do it. Now, let me say one other thing about what Holder just said. I actually agree with him. I agree that if a state decides through the democratic process to recognize same-sex marriage as now, I think it's wrong that they do that. I don't think that's a good law. But if the state decides to do it, then the feds ought to recognize that because it is a state issue. So let me agree with him on that. I'm a state's rights person. I think if a state is misguided enough to say that same-sex couples and heterosexual couples are exactly the same, then in terms of their benefits to society, which they're not, and legally they're the same, then the feds ought to recognize that. I agree with them.
Finally, Eric Holder, and I think it probably fits well with his view here, speaking to the Human Rights Campaign, sees fit to briefly quote the Declaration of Independence.
This nation was built, and it continues to be improved by patriotic men and women with abiding faith in the bedrock principle of equality. From the suffragettes to the Freedom Riders, from Birmingham to Stonewall, America's course has been determined and our future defined by those who act on the recognition that all are created equal.
The equal rights of humanity is not the only thing that he is declaring equal there. Am I right, Frank?
Yes, he's declaring behaviors equal. Every person is equal, but not every behavior is equal. That's why we have laws, because not all laws, not all behaviors are equal. We wouldn't need any laws if behaviors were equal. So this is what is so frustrating about this, is because he is confusing two things. People are equal, but their behaviors are not. In fact, to show you that people don't think behaviors are the same, the people who are fighting for same-sex marriage, if you ask them this question, Todd, if you say, are same-sex and opposite-sex couples, are they the same or different? No matter how they answer, they're going to be in trouble. If they say they're the same, then you would say to them, well, if a same-sex and an opposite-sex relationship are the same, then why are you fighting for same-sex marriage at all? Why don't you just marry somebody of the opposite sex? You're saying the relationships are the same. The very reason you're fighting for same-sex marriage is because you know the relationships are different. Okay, they are different then. Well, if they're different then, you treat different things differently. You don't treat different things equally. You treat different things differently. The behaviors are different. They yield different results to the people involved, to children, and society as a whole. In fact, let me go back to this. The only purpose of marriage for the state, the main purpose of marriage for the state, I should say, the central purpose is to perpetuate and stabilize society. It is not to recognize romantic relationships. If it's just about recognizing romantic relationships, what does the state care? Why would the state be involved if it's just about romance? It's not. It is about the perpetuation and stabilization of society, which involves children. Now, obviously, some heterosexual couples don't have children, but that's the exception rather than the rule. The only ones that do have children biologically are men and women. And we look at the statistics and we see that men and women bring up children on average better than any other kind of parental arrangement, whether it's single parenthood or two moms or two dads. In fact, there's not really parenting, Todd. There's mothering and fathering. And same-sex couples always deny their child either a mother or a father. So the point here is that once we throw marriage out the window and say it's just about coupling, whether it's through no-fault divorce or same-sex marriage or whatever, we're saying that marriage has nothing to do with children, and those are the people that suffer.
Now, it would be one thing if this were, say, a famous advocate of LGBT rights speaking here. But this is the Attorney General of the United States.
Yes, this is a very politicized administration, as you know.
What do you make of, just generally speaking, what do you make of the potential for very messy legal thinking? Because his business, his job is to think legally about at the federal level.
Well, it's not just his fault, though. I mean, you can go up to the Supreme Court and see this fuzzy thinking. When people equate someone's sexual desire to their behavior and then therefore a right, that's just very bad thinking to begin with. And several Supreme Court justices buy into this. So that's the biggest problem, is that we're equating desires with rights. We're saying that because somebody has a certain desire, they're somehow a different class of people. No, we're not different classes of people because we have different sexual desires. There are men and women. That's What they do with their sexual desires is a matter of choice. It's always a matter of choice. The desires might not be a matter of choice, but the behavior always is. But what they're doing is they're conflating desires and behavior, and they're saying because you have a particular desire, you have to have a right to engage in that behavior, and others have to celebrate it. And if you don't celebrate it, we will hurt you. We will take away your parental rights to educate your children the way you want to educate them. We'll take away your religious rights so you can't live the way you want to live. You will take away your personal rights when you run a business. You're not going to be able to run a business the way you want to. So this is not live and let live. This is not neutrality. It's see it our way or we will hurt you.
He was surrounded by the logo, the equal sign there.
Right, yeah.
And I think what the message was is that all these other rights that have been fought for in the United States are equal to the rights that gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual people are fighting for.
Everybody already has equal rights. Everybody has the same right to marry somebody of the opposite sex. So he's misusing equality. And by the way, where does equality come from? It comes from God. What standard is he using to say that certain people have certain rights to engage in a certain behavior? If not God, who? Oh, you're saying the Constitution? The Constitution says nothing about same-sex attraction. It says nothing about marriage, actually. This is a state issue. So he's at the federal level trying to insert something into the Constitution that just isn't there. Marriage has always been a state issue.
Frank Turek is founder and president of CrossExamine.org, and he's author of several books, including Correct, Not Politically Correct. Frank, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, Todd, thanks very much. And check out YouTube. Look up Marriage Equals Biology, Not Bigotry, if you want to see a good summary of what we talked about here today.
Thanks, Frank. When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is going to join us. Every week he joins us to do Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to spend some time in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the choice between life and death, and we will find there Christ in the Old Testament. Stay tuned.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
The CLCC Spring Conference, Building Up the Body of Christ, is April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Join us, won't you, with Pastors Jonathan Fisk, David Kind, and Rob Jarvis, and explore ideas for engaging youth and younger adults to become more involved in the life of the church. We hope you can be there with us. All the conference details are at theclcc.org. Building Up the Body of Christ, April 29th and 30th in Bloomington, Minnesota. Get registered today at theclcc.org.
Where do we find Jesus in the book of Job? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Job in 4 Not So Easy Steps. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. Pastor Ross Johnson has written our Wittenberg Trail feature. It's titled Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret, the free online Issues, etc. journal.
In a Midwestern town not far away, against the encroaching forces of darkness, theologians gather. Saunders, Kuhlman, Ziegler, Masaki, and more. At Christ for Us in the Office of the Holy Ministry, February 25th through 27th in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Register at acelc.net because...
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Join the cause at acelc.net.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.